Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who can never resist a good butt joint joke. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
Well, what's up, everybody? It is show number 539, and on today's show, we're talking about making barn videos, sharpening curved blades, learning how to train someone in a one-man shop, and we heard from you... Oh, boy, I wrote that poorly. So, we heard from you guys about things that are Matt's fault, and we're going to tell you all about it coming up soon, but before we get to that, we want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler has been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler is giving away a $250 gift card to just one lucky Wood Talk listener. Enter for your chance to win before January 31st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
And if you want to help support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/woodtalk and signing up to become a patron of the show. This time we're thanking Eli Center, Meredith Woodworks, and Jeff Barry.
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you all.
Thanks for the support. Always appreciate it. I think we have a voicemail from Eli later on. I recognize the name. Okay.
I think I have a question from Jeff too. Look at that. Become a patron and get your stuff on the show.
That's right. It's the only way.
We are not above bribery.
That's all we'll do.
No guarantees. Bribe us and... Still no guarantees though.
That's right. If you're lucky, you get a chance. Let's call it that.
Sheer dumb luck, actually.
That's all it is.
Oh, snap. All right, let's get to what's on the bench. So I'm going to try to get through these quickly. I got a couple of things. First of all, a Felder planer arrived in my shop, and it's still sitting there not doing anything. It's not plugged in. It's got no power. But man, does it look cool.
You know, that was good timing because my planer crapped out like the week after you got that. So
oh, did it really?
Hilarious. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that stinks. What happened to it?
Were you hoping that it would just start planing spontaneously? Is that... You figure you step up to a Felder,
it's a Felder.
I don't have to actually do anything?
Nah, I mean, geez, I'm paying enough for it. It should show up and just work. I shouldn't have to
just
do anything.
Just start working.
Yeah. It's going to cost me a lot more money just to get it to turn on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Welcome.
But I'm excited about it, though, because this thing is a beast. I have started to accept the fact that I'm not going to be like the midlife crisis guy that's buying a sports car. You know what I mean? Or, I don't know, find a girlfriend or something like that.
You say those things now. I mean, the sports car thing. I don't know the girlfriend thing.
But. About the girlfriend.
I was going to say, like you have a choice when it comes to finding a girlfriend.
Yeah, it's not
knocking down the door.
I say that as if I have the power to do that.
Right.
It's really dumb.
You have no
speaking,
game.
Speaking as someone who also has no game.
Yeah. What little I had is completely gone at this point. But yeah, so I'm more of like thinking about where this Felder planer comes in my life. It definitely is a midlife woodworker, midlife crisis kind of situation. Like I don't need it. It's definitely more than anything, you know, I do deserves, but I wanted it. I really wanted it. And it makes me happy every time I see it, even though I haven't even turned it on yet. So that's what the Felder planer is all about. It's also
just put like a racing stripe on it. It can be your sports car.
Ooh,
yeah, there's like some wheels on base, it. You know,
yeah, drive it around the parking lot. Be pretty nice. Oh, and speaking of driving that thing around, I got to touch on things that are Matt's fault later on for my own little addition to that segment. Talk about that. Nice. There's a little preview for you. Let's see. Aside from the planer, I am also working on a dining table for my house. Nicole is the gaming dining table is still with us. It's still doing its thing, but she's just ready for something different. And I think we're going to retire that maybe to like a little gaming area in the basement or something. And she wants a big walnut dining table that can serve more people. And we just had a little practice Thanksgiving thing yesterday, actually, with all of our family. And it was pretty obvious we need a little bit more space for serving food and all that fun stuff. So big dining table project coming up. And acoustic panels. I've been making lots of acoustic panels because in the process of filming that dining table project, I started to think, you know how like you're making a video in suboptimal conditions and you just know that during the edit, when you go to watch that stuff, you're going to be kicking yourself going, this doesn't sound good. And I want this to be like the best it could possibly be. So I stopped mid-project and decided to finally finish these acoustic panels because I would like the audio to not sound like trash when I'm talking. So this little echo chamber of a shop that I have now, hopefully with these acoustic panels, is going to sound a whole lot nicer. So we'll see how that goes. But those have been mostly constructed and I'm waiting on the acoustic fabric to come in so we could put the line them with fabric and then hang them from the ceiling. It's lots.
Now, can Nicole like leverage her Glowforge to like put designs on those stretchy fabric and
things, you know, like that are possible with the Glowforge. I mean, on this scale, maybe
not the Glowforge or something along that line. That just moves into Nicole's area. Yeah. You got to go into her area for this.
Yeah, yeah. But she would love it though. And I have threatened to put all three of our faces repeating on the patterns, you know, on each panel, we each get a face, put our faces on there. I think that looked great, but I don't know. We'll see. Right now. I just want to cut the acoustics. I don't care what it looks like, quite frankly. So it's just too echoey in there.
Let's be done with it.
I'm just envisioning, yeah. Like, especially if you did it repeating all the way around the shop, I can just see like some sort of almost like dream sequence type edit where, like, you've been working in the shop too long, you start to get delirious, and, you know, the Harry Giggler voice comes in, kind of laughing, kind of, yeah, like a Batman Joker thing.
Sure.
And you start to spin, and there's just those faces all the way around.
Yeah.
And then you go into the dream sequence.
You're really going to wake up people if you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Fremona silhouette would kind of be the perfect thing to put on all of them. Every single one of them. I think that'd be great.
It would encourage your kids never to go into the shop. Yeah. Daddy, it's scary for Mona.
I already got one of those on the back of the toilet in the shop. Peeking behind a plant.
I got a few pictures of that sent to me from your open house.
Oh, really? For people at the open nice. House? That's yes. Great. Yeah, yeah, I thought they'd enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what the hell? Oh, that's all right. You're there. Okay.
Matt's always watching.
Because they'll send me a picture. I'm like, is this your house? Did Mark start a trend?
It's a new trend,
but it's the same, like, oh, it's the same toilet and the same like plant, yeah, or whatever the hell you have in there every time. Like, okay, thank God it's not like everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
that's at fantastic. Least it's not in the toilet, Matt. I mean, you are in the back of the toilet,
whatever, you know, yeah, it could branding. Be at the, I'll put me
could
anywhere.
Be at the bottom of the
could
bowl.
Be more. Okay. It could be a Target.
So. Hey, whatever. You're thinking about me. It's all matters.
Yeah. Can't not think about you, man. It's constant. All right. That's all I have. Shannon, what do you got going on?
I built a bow saw this week, and something about I put the post on Instagram. Something about that post encouraged people not to comment, but to send me direct messages about how I was doing it wrong.
That's the best.
Oh, good.
Now, the funny thing is, like, I got comments from, like, very helpful comments from sawmakers. Like, you know, I would have, you know, made those. The big thing was because I was actually cutting the teeth into a blade, starting with a blank piece of steel and filing in my teeth. So several helpful sawmakers are like, oh, you know, you should have said something. I would have punched out the teeth for you and sent you the blade or all that. That was fine. Mm-hmm. It's the people, you got to love it when people go into the private messages, because they know that what they're about to say is somewhat like annoying. So, oh my God. And it sparked this. Actually, I did this in, I do a weekly update in the hand tool school, just kind of stuff that's going on. And I ended up mentioning this because people were like so up in arms that I took the time to file the teeth in and that I was wasting all this time. And basically, how dare I teach people how to waste time like this? And I was just like, you know what?
Jeez.
I spent a total of, and I actually looked at the clock. I spent a total of 23 minutes filing in these teeth, 144 teeth in a file for 23 minutes.
Quick.
Really not that long. Yeah, it really doesn't take that long. So I was like this whole rant about, you know, how much time would I have spent like sending it off to someone to actually cut the teeth or to punch the teeth in and then waiting for it to come back? Or I had several people who told me that I could create a jig to do that. How long would it have taken me to create a jig for the saw blade that I'm never going to make ever again? I mean, if I do make another saw blade, it's going to be a different pitch. So the jig that I just made isn't going to work. And, I've been working woodworking, I don't know, a while now. I have made hand filed, all told, 3 different saw blades in more than probably 15 years. So do I really need a jig? Like, at what point do you just like do it? Just get it done. You know, was it tedious? Was it, you know, repetitive? Absolutely. I was hand filing 140 some teeth. There's no, you know, pretty way to make that sound. It's just put on some good music and get through it as quickly as you can. But it blew me away, like the number of people that decided to write in and tell me I was doing this wrong and that there's a better way I should be doing it. So yeah, the internet is alive and well, folks.
Indeed.
Apparently, I speak to the people that want to tell me how I, quote, should be doing things.
Well, I mean, you did ask, so.
I found my people.
Sorry, I got lost in something. I promise I was paying attention, but it's a busy work day, just in case anyone knows. A lot of times we record on the weekends and it's quiet and there's nothing going on. But now I've got 2 other people in the shop and it's very distracting as things are happening around me. So apologies if I seem distracted. Matt.
More than usual.
Yeah, more than usual. More than just my own brain. Uh-huh. What do you got going on, man?
I'm finally to a point, I think, where my life is kind of getting back to normal. Maybe. I'm starting to think about working on my kitchen. Finally.
Nice. Time to have a 4th kid.
No. 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 That's not happening. No. the barn is just about done. We got my kind of part of working on it is basically done. Mm-hmm. They're insulating it this week and the plumber is going to come hook up the boiler and electricians are going to figure out how they're going to get some kind of power out there because our power utility isn't planning on coming out at all this year to install power to the building. So we're going to find some kind of temporary solution in the
extension cord.
Yeah.
Just get a bunch of them.
Very large extension cord to do what I need to do out there.
Do it. Get it on the spool.
See, and then you don't need a boiler.
Like a $6,000 extension cord. Yeah. And that's not even enough. I need a couple of those. So like,
Daisy chain. You got this.
Oh my gosh. I'll work on that. Figure that out. You know, if that's just a small hiccup in the grand scheme of things, but you know, whatever. Yeah. But I moved out of my warehouse last week, which was a kind of it was nice. I've been dreading doing it for a while. It's been like something in the back of my mind of things I have to do. And it's just nice to not have to think about that or worry about that kind of anymore. It's a huge weight off my shoulders. It's like, oh, there's some big thing I have to do at some point. Just get it done and be done with it and move on. So I'm done with that. It's all sitting out there in the barn in storage until things are a little more finished up out there. And then I can actually start setting up for real, but at least whatever. I'm moved.
That'd be a weight off your shoulders though. That's cool.
I feel a lot better this week. Like it's been very stressful. I don't know, whatever it's been like 6-8 months, whatever it's been. So yes, it's like, I can see the end of it. It's going to work out whatever, or work out well enough, I guess. Right. And I can kind of start thinking, okay, I can finally start seeing like my life going somewhat back to normal. Maybe I'll get into the shop again soon.
Yeah. What's the total time frame you've been in this? It's a weird state. I don't even know what to call it. But since the house project started, that seems to be the point when things kind of went a little off course. Off course is the wrong word.
Oh, yeah.
On a different course, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, we started renovating the house mid-October 2021.
Okay.
So I'm a little over a year of sidetracked stuff.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
I'd be curious to see, when you do get back into the shop, like, do you still know how to cut dovetails? You know, is it one of those things
a bike? So I have been tossing up this idea. We have all these drawers to make for the kitchen. And being the stupid and crazy person that I am, I'm actually considering hand dovetailing all of the drawers, the entire kitchen.
Sounds like a good use of your time.
You know, I haven't been in the shop for like a year for real. So I'm like, you know, if it takes me all week, all I have to do is sit out there and enjoy the smell of some sawdust and the sound of a handsaw and a chisel whacking into a board. That sounds quite pleasing at this point in my life. Instead of like standing away and a dovetail jig and a router, listen to a scream for 6 hours.
I think the time away may have clouded your judgment a little bit.
My judgment has always been poor. So if it's clouded, it's probably better.
I've never claimed to make good decisions. Yeah,
you said yes when we asked you to co-host this show, so it is always questionable.
True. Oh man, that was.
Do you have any idea how many drawers you're talking about here?
I have to get back into the plans and everything, but I don't know, probably like 20 to 30. Huh. It's all food dovetails with an applied front, so they don't have to be that pretty either.
I also think it's one of those things. I know for me personally, the first one sucks, right? But if you have 2, 3, 4, it actually seems to get progressively easier once you are in that mode. So, I mean, it sounds like it would be a lot of work, but I think you would get through it probably even faster than you think.
Yeah.
Well, and depending on like the variability and the sizes, I know I gang together parts quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like if you're building a chest and there's 3 drawers that are the same, you know, height to them, I just gang them together. And cut all the tails at once. That actually speeds things up kind of nicely. I don't know. I've always said that if it was more than like 10, that I don't know that I would try to do it by hand, but.
I don't know. I just think it would look cool too.
For the shot.
It's like the whole kitchen's painted, but the only thing that's not painted is the drawer boxes, the cabinet interiors, and the floor. So I'm like, that could be kind of a cool, like you pull the drawer open and it's dovetails, but it's like real dovetails, not those tiny little half blind machine ones that you see on manufacturing.
Well, if nothing else, get started. You can always pull out the router and the jig.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, if it goes to crap,
you know,
so what? I'll just try and remember how to use a dovetail jig. And spend that's 6 hours. Thing. I recommend starting
by the time you get through that manual, you could have had 10 drawers done.
and that's why true. I never used that's it. True. I'm like, God, this sucks. It's so annoying. Every single time you're like, how do I do this again? Sure.
Yeah, do some what test do boards too.
And like, you burn through like how many test pieces? This is too loose. This is too loose. Yeah, this is too tight. Now it's too loose again. What the hell? And you're like, I just want a woodwork. I don't want to set up a machine all day.
Would you consider at least a hybrid method to get the start like of some of your, maybe your tail initial cuts done
I would do like a piece of furniture where I'd be using my dovetail jig at the bandsaw to cut my tails and I hog all the waste at the table saw. And all I'm doing is like cleaning up and some chisel work at the bench.
That's going to be fast. And I take what I said back. I think you should do it.
Good. Yeah. Good. I blame you.
Matt, is your dog snoring?
Oh yeah. She's right here. Yes.
Okay. I don't have a French bulldog, but something told me that that sounds like the snore of a French bulldog. Basically a small version of what my dog does. I could have sworn I heard it.
A little more elegant snoring maybe.
Yeah. With a little more accent.
with an accent.
A little less, a little more
snore.
Cheese on
Le
it.
Snore.
A little more cheese. It's a big guess.
Right. Oh, that's good.
Well, you know, the only advice I'll give Matt is start with the drawers on the bottom. Start with like the most unobtrusive, the ones that get used the least amount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make like the utensil drawer. Do that one last. Oh, yeah. You'll be really good by then. Time. Yeah. Focus on the drawer that like you put random spatulas in and stuff like that on the bottom.
I don't know. You know, in general, I'm looking forward to this because it's going to be a little more shoppy and I'm going to have a little bit more fun with the cabinets as making them more furniture-ish. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Right.
And all of the, like, it's not built like furniture because it's all inset. Everything's inset. So it's like every other piece of furniture I ever make anyway.
Right.
So I get to sit up there and make some doors that fit perfectly to whatever the cabinet's doing. We're gonna have some pretty fine gaps on these things. This is going to be, this is a pretty high-end kitchen we're talking here. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, good, good. I'm excited to see it all come together. See all those dovetails posted on Instagram every day for 2 weeks.
Daily dovetail.
the daily, Matt's daily dovetail. Dovetail.
Daily dovetail, literally.
I love it. That'd be great. All right, let's get to some kickback. Shen, you grabbed that first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, the lumber update was recognized on Fine Woodworking's podcast.
As it should be.
Having produced a phenomenal episode on Baltic birch. So, yeah. It's good to know out of all the episodes out there, it's the one about Baltic birch that got noticed. But yeah, no, I appreciate that. Definitely. It was kind of cool to hear that pop up. I know there we're talking about, you know, fine plywood and there it is. Ben just kind of dropped it out there. There's this great podcast. So appreciate that, guys. Thanks.
Awesome. Hey, put the link to the Baltic birch episode in the notes when you do that, too.
Wait, you have another podcast?
Yeah.
What?
I might as well link to somebody other podcast rather than link to my own. Gosh. Self-promoting hack,
you know,
Mark.
In case Jeez. You want to. I'm just, you know, that's the kind of guy I am these days. So
it's funny because before we started recording, we talked about how terrible we are at promoting our own stuff. Here we go. It's a perfect example.
I think it's just like over a decade of being told that I do nothing but whore myself. Oh, bad terminology here. I'm sorry, but you know what I'm going to say. Hoe myself out. Can I say it that way?
Hey, girl.
Chill.
As being one of the like earliest people to sort of commercialize the effort of content production, I have been told that constantly. So I am so gun shy about how much advertising I do and how many things I try to sell people that to this day, I still have problems promoting my own stuff when I'm supposed to. I'm getting better though.
We should start an alliance. We promote like each other's stuff. So that person doesn't have to.
Right.
You know,
I like that.
That kind of thing.
Sounds good to me. I'll look forward to the next Wood Whisperer ad in your next build video.
You know, I could do it. Go see that buddy Mark. I know you can. Here. He's pretty cool.
I know you can.
Make some silly jokes about me. See if you can find them all.
I try to.
If they can make a bingo card.
Yeah, the Matt joke
card. Take this bingo card over to Mark's channel and see if you can find all the references listed on this card.
Oh, okay. I ran out of ideas with that, though. I'll take a break from making fun of Matt. Maybe I'll switch to making fun of Shannon.
Yeah, good luck.
That'd be fun.
That shouldn't be too hard.
How are you going to make fun of Shannon?
I don't know. You'd be like, he's too smart, that guy. Look, he's tall. Like, it doesn't work.
right. I think a lot of people have had fun with just those 2 points alone. Yeah. So I think it'll be all right.
Okay, let's get to one more kickback here. This one is a voicemail style kickback from Austin about changing table saw blades.
Hey, Mark, Shannon, and Matt. This is Austin from Ohio. I'm a remodeling contractor, and I just wanted to throw some kickback at you regarding the last episode where you were talking about changing table saw blades. In my professional shop, I have two table saws, a cabinet saw, and a Felder sliding table saw. The sliding table saw pretty much always gets left with a cross-cut blade on it, and the cabinet saw does get changed between a plywood blade, a ripping blade, and a dado stack. I do have two more table saws in storage that I'm likely going to pull out and put into the professional shop. And then my job site saw is a SawStop Job Site Pro, and that one gets the blade switched a lot because on site I only have one table saw. Just thought I would throw that at you guys. Have a great one. And thanks for not quitting or knitting.
Whew, that car noise was loud in my headphones. Yikes. That's great, though.
Thank you
for that information, Austin. It's always cool to hear how like the real woodworkers do it. Okay. So here's a new segment.
Congratulations. You guys ready for this? A real woodworker, Austin. Yeah.
This is a new segment that we're going to do once. It's it's
one time only.
It's called Matt's Fault.
Play the theme music.
Yeah, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I should have gone to Fiverr and gotten something done.
What the hell? Is, you did it for Shannon once for his one time lumber industry update and it spawned a whole show.
And then it was a whole entire show. You want a whole show called Matt's Fault?
I was going to say, let's spin off Matt's Fault.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. You know,
If people would listen, I'll do it. That's fine. No problem there.
Yeah. All right. So we asked you guys kind of jokingly about things that were Matt's fault and hashtagging it's Matt's fault. And there were some funny responses, but we did get a couple in email form. And I wanted to read those to you because it's actually kind of nice to hear these things. It's complimentary for you, Matt. The first one, though, is actually from me. And this comes with my, I mentioned it earlier with,
I get to go first. Get out of my way.
Yeah. I wrote the notes here. I get to do what I want. So I got that Felder unit, right? So we had to get it off the pallet and the manual recommends a pallet jack or some other thing that can get, you know, forks underneath it to move it. And certainly not picking it up from the top. It's not going to go over well. So I like, what do we do? Well, Jason, thankfully, my brother-in-law who works with me now, has, you know, lots of local friends and access to some heavy equipment should we need it. And he was able to get a skid loader with a nice set of forks on there, got this thing moved. And the one thing I've noticed, and this has been hinted at in the past when I would show like the goofy ways that I lift heavy stuff, just because that's all I have access to. You can't use heavy equipment in this woodworking world of ours without invoking the name of Matt Cremona. Like it's almost like he either invented it or the only reason people are aware that these things exist is because they saw Matt use it. So they have to attribute everything to Matt Cremona. It was the weirdest phenomenon. And I think this happens a lot in like the content world. People get, you know, if you can't use pallet wood without somebody mentioning like Paul Jackman, right? Like that type of thing. So Matt, thank you. But it is your fault now that someone can't show a skid loader without invoking your name and saying it's like we learned it from you or we should have gotten you to do it.
It's also like, this is a weird one for me because it's like the weirdest brand shift because back in the day I didn't have any of these things.
Right.
And like I moved things creatively with like winches and pulleys or my log trailer. I used that to like lift. That's how I brought my table saw down the driveway. I picked it up with my trailer and back down the driveway with it.
Right.
But like that's how I used to function. And then suddenly now I'm known for having big things. Like that's like always been my thing apparently is having equipment.
Big things.
Which yeah. isn't the case.
Big things.
And now you just move it with a joystick.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the fourth
offensive lever. Now when you go to rent heavy equipment, you're required to watch a Matt Cremona playlist. A YouTube playlist.
Please, while you're waiting, you know, watch United these Matt Rentals, Cremona shows.
Watch this guy do something dumb.
Check this box. I learned from Matt Cremona. Yeah,
I know how everything.
Please don't check the box.
Well, this ties into Gordon's description of, and actually a question for you as well, Matt. So I'll just read what Gordon says. He says, I'm a lower intermediate woodworker getting back into it after several years. At this point, I think I need to add a tool or two to my arsenal to get to that next level and have been doing some research online. Wondering if I should buy once and cry once to get a telehandler or if I should start with a skid steer, knowing I'll outgrow it in a year or two. And he attributes all of this to Matt.
I'm pretty sure you keep
that
both.
Is so Matt's fault. The fact that he's even considering going straight to a telehandler.
I mean, why not?
That is so Matt's fault.
Well, what's funny about the telehandler thing is like when I got it, the sentiment was, why the hell would you buy that? That seems like the stupidest thing to buy. Yeah. Why didn't you buy like people suggest I buy a backhoe. Like, why the hell would I buy a backhoe? What the hell am I going to do with that? And now it's like, oh, I see. This actually makes a lot of sense for you. You put a lot of thought into this purchase. Yes. Yes, I did.
And now everyone else who moves anything has to hear, why didn't you just use a telehandler?
That just cracks me up.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
They're all out.
I'm sorry. I work at like one of the largest importers of lumber in the country. And we have two of them. And it's like, you know, two of those to like 30 forklifts. It's just not a common tool, even in a large production environment like ours. The fact that the home woodworker is thinking, should I buy a telehandler?
It will change your life.
You have to have your own parking space.
We use it for all kinds of things. It's like if you want to change the oil in your car,
Matt's
you
book.
Don't need a car lift. Just lift your car up in the air and change your oil. No problem.
There we go.
Sounds like work. All right. Joshua has some comments here. He says he was offered. This is me describing it. Joshua was offered some cherry and hickory logs and accepted them, even though he only had a pickup truck and no way to break them down. Now he has a chainsaw, a cheap beam guide, and an Alaskan mill on the way. His wife is worried that the bandsaw mill in the yard is next.
She should
be worried. It's all Matt's
fault. She definitely should be worried. But also excited. Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. I'm sure she'll get there.
Who wants to read Adria's?
I will. Adria is a Hand Tool School member, so, you know, it's important. Adria and her fiance have made their own walnut cookies for their wedding reception. A tree service cut them, but Adria used a router sled and a flattening bit. Hand Tool School member using a router sled. Good Lord. You let me down, Adria.
Your best student, I take apparently.
I take it back.
Sounds like she's also a guild member.
Anyway, she used a router sled to flatten it, and then some, we call this pentacryl or pentacryl? I like pentacryl.
Pentacryl.
I say pentacryl, but it
sounds like pterodactyl.
Whatever the hell that was you just said.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's
like it does sound like a dinosaur. I like it.
Anyway, that's when she realized it would take the cookies a year to dry, but the wedding was a month away. So she applied Armor Seal and hoped for the best. Now she's daydreaming about making a mini bandsaw mill, like 20 inches, because this was also cool, and it's all Matt's fault.
I like that.
That's great.
It's also Matt's fault that it took so long for the stuff to dry.
Yeah, you think he could speed that up.
Specifically.
As powerful as he is, you think he could speed that up.
Congratulations on your wedding, whenever it is. If it's happened already or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But regardless. Congratulations.
All right.
I'm not taking credit.
Well, it's time for an ad. Matt, you wanna read the ad?
Do you need a gift to take to an upcoming wedding?
No, I'm on the spot.
Good guess.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna let Matt read this one.
Okay. Do you want me to do another little transition or just roll into it or what?
No, just make something up real quick.
Oh, you know who else gave us a gift one time? That's right, Rockler.
I just like how Matt's ad voice goes up about a third. just a little bit higher than his normal voice.
I get a little excited about the ad reads. You know, they just excite me just a tiny bit. Not a full excitement, just like a little bit of excitement.
You want to know something funny? Whenever Mateo is reading something, like trying to be a YouTuber, he does that. His voice goes up an octave. It's adorable. And I apply that same adorable viewpoint to Matt right now.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I love it. Oh, man. Okay. Rockler. That was very high. That was very high. Is your go-to source to build your holiday wish list. From router tables to power tools, the clamps or custom branding irons, Rockler has a wide selection with hundreds of new products to choose from. And if you're not sure exactly what you want, you can never go wrong with their Rockler gift card. Find the Rockler gift giving guide plus great holiday deals on the Rockler.com homepage right there. Just look at it. In your face.
Just think of Matt like starting the ad read.
Rockler.
Gotta fight that instinct.
way to lean into that, Matt.
That was well good.
Nice. I'm a good sport.
Thanks. I needed the break from reading all these things. Oh, that was great. Well, thank you, Rockler. We appreciate your support. Sorry, we appreciate awesome. Rockler's support and their tolerance of
man.
Our crap.
We went to a potluck this weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was like in someone's house in their dining room. They had this large dining table. And then.
Do you have to drop your keys in a bowl on the way in the door?
No, there was a lot of kids there. So it wasn't quite that kind of thing. But
drop your kids in the bowl?
Yeah, drop your kids.
Sometimes I like to do that.
Anyway, in the dining room against the wall was a woodworking bench. It was a Rockler bench. And I'm like, this is the best place for a workbench in the damn dining room.
So like as a serving table type thing?
That's what they were using it for at that time. But they had all like the little, like the hold fast and like the clamps on the little shelf beneath it.
Yeah.
And like it's clearly someone's working in here. And this is fantastic. I feel very much at home right now.
Yeah. Well, that's cool though. I mean, because I've seen that older like antique workbenches used as a decorative thing with absolutely
kind of that
no
vibe,
intention.
But it was like an actual like. You can woodwork here if you want, or just put your pot of food here. Whatever you want to do.
It's pretty sweet.
Did you inquire about it? Like, well, or was it just
they're into woodworking? So I'm like, seen okay, those that, before. That made sense.
Huh.
It's a nice, it's a nice spot. They got a lot of windows and things. So I'm like, that's probably a nice little place to work, and it's right there in the house.
Wow.
But it wasn't like they moved it in just for the potluck because they needed an extra place to set.
No. Unless they moved it in with all the accessories and things still attached to
true.
It.
True.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed kind of silly. Yeah. Right on.
All right.
That's my anecdote.
Pretty cool.
There you go.
It's a good one. I like that.
I'm all about contributing all right, so, things to the show.
You are on the ball today.
Monday.
It's a good show. So we got some questions to answer from you guys. I got one here from Steve. He says, I recently started listening. It's been great. As a distraction during the 4 a.m. bottle feeds for my new twins. Oi, yeah. I feel the pain, man. That will be a memory I'll never forget. Not twins, but, you know, little pain in the butt singles.
Whoa, back up.
No, it could have been much worse.
There's a chapter I don't know about in the Spagnuolo life.
Nope, no twins for us. He says, listening to some of the backlog, episode 458, Mark mentioned having Jason sitting around while Mark was cutting important through tenons for the bread box build. I know Jason has recently rejoined Mark, which made me think, why not have him do similar operations on scrap as training and practice? Been loving the show. Thanks for unquitting. So yeah, Steve, this is absolutely something that I should have been doing better. And I've had two, now Joel, where's that from? Where are they going with that? Jason has rejoined. That's probably the word I was looking for. Rejoined the team. And I'm really putting a lot of thought into this and into what I have done wrong in the past. When you're a one-man shop and you have one set of tools and you have really one way of doing things, the way you've been doing things, it actually is a lot harder to bring a second person in as anything but assistant, right? That like generic label of this person is there to simply assist me with the things I'm already doing. What I needed to do, which was not that easy to do in that space, was bring in someone who can also, you know, work parallel with me, so that they can actually get some of the same things done. And then when I am off camera, they might be able to finish those things. But the idea is the person needs as much hands-on time as possible. And it got so difficult to do in a smaller shop. And now that we're in this space, I'm really approaching things differently. And I am trying to, like, anytime I've got an exercise that I'm doing, for instance, I'm doing some loose mortise and tenon joinery, I cut a few extra legs. I would normally do that anyway, just to have some backups. So these legs get two big mortises into an angled part of the leg. So there's a whole way of doing this with the router. But I want Jason to have some hands-on time. Well, he was busy doing something else for the business at that time. I got the joinery done, but I saved the setup. I saved those two spare legs and I'm going to go through it with him. And I think that's what it comes down to. You got to take the time to run that person through it and give them the hands on. And that's the exercise I'm going through in my head, is not simply, let's just get the video done, which is very easy for us to default to. It's let's take the time to actually train him, and having his own workbench, having some of his own tools and his own space is really conducive to making that happen. Whereas back in Denver, and even prior to that in Arizona, that type of thing is a lot harder for me to do in such a small space, because the person's always using my tools, my bench, and it's my project, right? So this is allowing us to give him his own, you know, control of his own things, and then getting more hands-on time, which is just me. I just have to plan better. I have to say, okay, let's cut some extras. Let's make sure Jason is getting all the hands-on time that he possibly can, even if it's not on camera time. It's just worth it to invest that time. So that email was just a good reminder of what I need to keep doing to make sure I don't have those situations where it's like, I'm doing the important stuff and Jason's sitting there watching. Like, that's never ideal. So thank you, Steve.
That just sounds hard.
It's tricky. It's a different way of thinking.
This, like, thinking about it for myself, I'm like, yeah, that would be damn near impossible. Especially
right, because the goal,
space that I'm at, I'm like, I don't have room for them to do anything. Like, what are they going to do? And I'm like, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, you should probably be investing the time into that person to develop them, but at the same time, like, that's taken away from whatever you're doing in that moment.
100%.
You're like,
oh. Yeah, in that instance that Steve gave, why not have Jason on the side practicing? Well, because someone would have to show him what to do. And give him a second jig to do the work.
If he's practicing and you're trying to film something, like, you're going to have some background noise. No, he can't be working while you're filming something.
Yeah. Yeah. It is tricky, but space and a facility
is the, maybe it goes without saying, but is the motivation there? Like, does he want to be able to, for lack of a better term, do what you do.
No, I'm forcing.
Is the interest there? Well, that, I mean, that,
I don't know.
Yes. And that was part of the agreement, because I don't know that that motivation, that I felt that motivation in him the first time around. But it was a tricky situation because he moved away from his comfort zone. He was living in Denver. And now we're, you know, he obviously went back for his family's reasons. And the situation is very different now. And the challenge was put out there that at the end of this first year, before we go into another year together, we have to make that decision. Is he happy doing this? Is he getting qualified enough to do the woodworking? Because at a certain point, once all this, like the grunt work of converting the space is done, what's left? Building stuff and making videos about it. And if he can't help me with that, then neither of us are going to be happy. So that's definitely the interest is there. And, you know, we are committed to making it happen. Both of us are committed to making it happen. And hopefully at the end of that first year, we'll be there, or at least on our way. And then we can just kind of continue moving forward.
Okay. So I'm not making it up. I felt like I remember there being like some sort of maybe disinterest or whatever in the, the fine woodworking side.
Well, and I think I've said in the past, like woodworking isn't his thing. Like he likes cars like that. That's his big hobby. He enjoys that and has some interest in woodworking, but it's certainly I wouldn't call it his passion. But I think, you know, you get to a certain point in life where you have preferred types of work to do. And it's a hell of a lot more fun to work with me, you know, than to operate a telehandler all day.
Well, I was going to say, maybe you should buy like a really old telehandler and he can fix it up.
He probably could.
You and then you can do he definitely that. Could.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or am I going to park the damn thing though?
You got a whole firehouse.
Yeah, a whole firehouse.
You got to come here.
If they put fire trucks in there, why can't you put a telehandler?
Because I got stupid Felder planers in the way.
Just leave it in the parking lot.
It's not enough.
Yeah, room. But if you have a telehandler, you can pick up the planer.
That's true.
And then park the telehandler. Yeah, see, it's easy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think from a YouTube perspective, if you had Jason like restoring old woodworking machinery and forklifts, that would just skyrocket. We'd go just nuts.
Yeah, sounds fun.
So with that, are you thinking like having him on camera doing those things, or is it more like a behind the scenes, like I don't really need to film this right now so Jason can work on this kind of thing?
That's so B is the initial thing, right?
Sure.
Like I need to be able to walk away. And if there's 8 of these to do, I get one captured in video and walk away. The rest will be done when I get back. That will make us very efficient with what we do. Ideally, I want to be able to not be here. And I could say,
I suddenly hate you. I suddenly hate you. Suddenly. Like if you can make that work out, oh my God, like that would be amazing.
Well, to an extent it already is. There are certain things that we've done. We've made those little spatulas, and as simple as those are, making a non-woodworker understand the nuance of getting the, you know, profiled edge perfect and making sure there's no scratches in the surface. That's a lot. And we had that first batch we made, we had 90 of them to do. So I didn't have to do them all myself. He handled those. So it's definitely something that's already happening. But I do think ultimately, and this is already happening too, he knows how to do jointing and planing and run things through the table saw. So there may be things where I just say, hey, go ahead and progress those parts through this next step and make sure you just get some footage of it. And most of the time you just see his arms and you go, well, those aren't Mark's tattoos. And that's how you know it's someone else. But it's not like he's necessarily teaching. He's just doing the action.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
And we'll see. I mean, it'll evolve as we go. I don't anticipate he's going to want to be on screen outside of like banter and the jokes and stuff that we do back and forth. I don't think he has aspirations of that, but I mean, it would be available to him if he wanted to. So, but it's going well so far, ultimately.
Well, I'm glad to hear. It's just generally interesting to me to see and hear how that kind of goes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a little selfish of me to think that because it's, you know, sort of the same thing that I have to go through if I ever want to do this.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand a little bit.
Well, especially something
daunting.
That's born.
It just sounds overly daunting to me.
Well, it's a whole business model that was born out of like being alone and being alone in a space and getting things done. And then you want to integrate another person into that. Like I look at things like, I don't know, Bob Claggett and his whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love what he's doing. His content's fantastic. But I look at that and I go, my God, could I live with a team of that size up in my stuff like all the time? Or would that drive me crazy?
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's a lot of people micromanaging my day. I don't know if I would like that. I know
a lot of people who have gone the opposite direction and they try it and they're like, oh, can't deal with it.
Yeah.
you know, hate it. You know, I think it's really difficult, especially when you founded the business and it's kind of always been your way of doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's hard.
I think that, you know, one person is a good thing. I think if we went beyond this and had an additional like laborer in the space, that might start to get real tricky. Even in this bigger space, I think that would be problematic. I think it also helps that it's family. That can be a blessing and a curse depending on relationships. In our particular case, having family means it's a vested interest. He, you know, wants this business to succeed as much as I do. You know, and his sister works for the business as well. And it's, you know, it becomes a whole family thing. So everybody's kind of on the same page as like, what's best to make this ship go, right? And and we're all kind of on the same page. I don't have to worry about him stealing anything from me. You know what I mean? Like, it's family. So that does make it.
I'm really upset with myself at how long it took me to make the connection when you said his sister also works in the business.
Took a while,
it's
right?
Like, oh, you got to do that. You have a fourth person in there. Really, I'm very ashamed of myself at how long it took me to figure that one out.
Yeah, it's Nicole's brother. All right,
got it.
Enough about
I'm
me.
I'm with you now.
All right, that's way longer than I thought. Matt's,
yeah. I was like feeling bad for this like person who's never been named before. It's part of the Wood Whisperer crew. Like,
yeah.
When are we going to introduce her day? You know?
Yeah. You'll never know.
It's a mystery employee.
It's a silent partner.
That was easily the best moment of this show.
All right, Matt.
Oh, man.
Your turn.
All right. This is from Bill. Bill says, I've been an enthusiastic hand tool school member. There you go, Shannon. They're all, would you like have your, did you like put something on the hand tool school? Like, hey, we have a show called Wood Talk. Everybody like become a patron and send questions in.
that would mean promoting my own stuff. And you know, I don't ever do that.
Sneaky.
So
sneaky tactics.
So I was like, maybe I was pleasantly surprised. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Seems strange. Anyway, Bill's been a hand tool school member for about 3.5 years, but only recently tuned in to the Wood Talk show blog. Shannon, I'm telling you, you must have said something.
He's been there 3.5 years and never knew it was there. Yeah.
So I already know about Shannon. I'm getting to know Mark and Matt. And in doing so, my wife and I have been fascinated by Matt's barn build YouTube videos, both the content and the videography. As far as the videography, Matt, could you tell us how you accomplished the video production? I can see that much of it is holding the GoPro camera, but also someone else must be recording, possibly your wife. Tell us more about the drone. How can it be so stable? Is it difficult to control? Do you have to worry about getting out of radio range and losing it? Were you operating inside the barn during the concrete pour and on top of the roof during the ridge capping? What about the sound recording? Is it separate from the video recording devices? It's so consistent in volume and quality, et cetera, et cetera.
This is a question, man.
This is a good question.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then another question here about the barn. Was the goal to use it for all your fabrication / teaching activities? Will you move your shop there? Will it be heated? If so, how? This kind of goes back to the earlier discussion on moving the warehouse. So that the barn is becoming my new warehouse space. It will be heated. It will be fully functional, I guess, shop-ish space. Although I won't be using it as my own personal shop. It'll be used for the physical products businesses to live out of and do all that. The only thing that I'm probably going to move out there as far as my shop goes is like my metal stuff, like welding type of stuff, because I can have a little more room for like an actual welding table I can store out there. But yeah, that's the barn thing. As far as the videos go, so this has been a very interesting project and process to figure out how the hell I'm going to tell the story through video with such a large project, like physically, like you could be anywhere and be several hundred feet from wherever a camera just was to the number of people working on it at the same time. And so it's very different than anything else I've ever produced where I am in complete control of what's going on. And I'm actually able to set up shots and then do the things, maybe even reshoot something or whatever. This is like you only have one chance to get the footage of what's going on and you don't know where it's going to be happening. And you also have to make it interesting. So the way that I went about doing that or solving that problem is to throw more cameras at it, which is, yeah, it's something in itself. So a lot of the days I have footage from up to 5 different cameras, depending on what the situation was and where I was in the moment, how far I was from a camera and all of that. It got really difficult when we started doing the roof because I was the one on the very top. And once you go up, you don't come down until like a break time or the end of the day or something. So I had to be even more thoughtful and proactive about how I'm going to film that. But regardless of the fact that it's a very difficult place to show, but also to be able to have the cameras there when you need them. So for the roof specifically, I definitely relied on the drone a lot. So that I would just put that up there. I can get about 40 minutes at a time on the battery, and I would just kind of move it around as I was working. If I got done screwing a panel down quicker or something, then we're waiting for the next panel to come up. I just grab the controller, move the drone to some new shot, and then keep working. I also thought it was kind of fun too, is I experimented with wearing a camera on my head and giving a POV view, which that was hard. You don't realize how often you turn your head to look at things until you go back and watch the footage. You're like, why the hell? Why can't you just hold the camera still? Why are you looking all over the place? You're like, oh yeah.
Totally unwatchable.
It's 100% unwatchable. I'm like, this is okay. Well, that's garbage. So then I started training myself to look with my eyes and not my head, and to be very like purposeful with the direction I was pointing my head at when I'm wearing that thing.
So do you ever see those videos of a bird flying where the bird locks its head almost like it's on a gimbal and the rest of the body is moving? It's kind of how I picture you now, Matt.
That's exactly what it's like. I'm like, what the?
It's got that neck is locked.
Oh man. It's it was a lot of fun from like a problem solving videography perspective because it was so different than what I'm used to. And I learned so much about it. But also what is incredibly funny about this is I was releasing videos so quickly, like for 10 days in a row, I released a video every day of the day before. So I only had, you know, 6 hours to edit the video and release it. So actually my post-production quality is way, way lower than the quality of anything else I've ever done. Because it was like, all right, good enough, whatever, next video, don't care. So I'm actually
turning it out.
I'm not doing anything with audio besides selecting which camera makes the most sense for that moment. The only creative artistic direction I took with the audio is the camera on the ground has a dead cat. So it has absolutely no wind noise, which gives a nice, really clear and crisp sound, but it doesn't represent the feeling of being on the roof with the wind blowing. So I will use the audio from the roof camera with wind noise to give it a little more effect of what it's like to actually be up there.
Look at you.
Because it's windy.
Look at you.
That's the only stylistic thing I did with audio. I didn't really worry about like capturing voices as much like I would on the home renovation. Like Donovan and I were both mic'd all the time, and that gave us good audio for like speaking and everything. But it's one more thing to have to worry about, having the mics on and making sure they have batteries. So I just didn't bother with that at all. And as far as the edits go, all I'm doing there is I know I have my little speaking parts where I talk about what's going on. Then I have an action sequence. So all I'm doing is I find my speaking section and then I just throw some action stuff between it. And to make it more interesting, I have at least two cameras of action shots, maybe five of action shots. All I'm doing is cutting between them and I'm able to jump time very seamlessly. You'll never know that every single cut I'm jumping time. I can jump from one panel going on the roof to the next one. And you probably won't even notice. And that's how I get through the monotony of the day so fast. Mm-hmm. As far as the barn with the concrete pour, that was an interesting one because as we were shooting it, you know, they're working their way back out the door. So if you can't walk on the area that they screeded and floated already. So what are you shooting from behind? Butts. Just people butts.
Like, my favorite.
This is not great. So I put the drone in the building facing them so you can actually see what they're doing. Because otherwise you just look back there looking at people's butts, you know, and different people have different ways of wearing clothing on their butts. Some more successful than others, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
I think you're missing out on a whole new audience. I think there are whole websites dedicated to that.
For this audience and for this presentation, there wasn't a whole lot of usable footage from back there. So yes, the drone was flying in the barn for like the entire concrete pour, being able to show a viewpoint that you couldn't normally see. And the same thing for the troweling. I didn't have to go in there. I could just fly the drone around and follow them with the trowel, and you can get high or low shots depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm.
Did you have to have, like, this is kind of unrelated, but did you have to have people sign like a release?
I mean, I didn't.
They agree to be on film.
They know that they're being filmed before they get there. So I don't. I probably should.
I think technically you should.
Technically I should, but I mean, at least there's a construction crew. They brought, I don't know, at least a dozen people that day. But that's the question that I have gotten in the past is, but like, how do the subs feel being recorded? Yeah. They all know ahead of time and no one's really had a problem with it. And like the question mm-hmm. is like, well, if they don't consent to being recorded, is that a deal breaker? And it would be, which is fine, but no mm-hmm. one's been like, oh no, please don't record me. You know, some people are like, I don't really want to talk on camera or don't show me doing a whole lot of stuff. But for the most part, people are like, yeah, whatever. And especially the concrete pour day, they were looking up the YouTube videos when they're waiting for the trucks.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, I know a couple episodes ago, I talked about like teaching kids and like engaging kids at various shows. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody contact me and say, you should really film those.
Yeah.
And I absolutely thought about it and was absolutely forbidden because of minors.
Yep. That was tough.
On camera.
Yep.
And it was just like, no, even if you bring in a release, absolutely not happening. Go away. And to the point where like, if I was the thought of me possibly even bringing a camera or the thought that I do a lot of filming almost made me lose the gig. Cause it was, so that's a different thing. Cause you're talking about under 18.
Yes.
But that's been on my mind a little bit recently. Sorry. Totally co-opted your conversation there.
The conversation I was having with myself.
Yes.
More of a monologue, I think.
I think that was about it, though.
All right.
Right on. Well, one related question to that. What GoPro are you using right now?
I never liked GoPros to begin with. So I bought the DJI Action 3. Which is their new like action cam type thing. So I have the Action 2, mm-hmm. which is the one I wear on my head. It's a really small, compact one. And the Action 3 is more like a GoPro form factor. But mm-hmm. I like that one a whole heck of a lot better than GoPros.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I had one for a while. And I mean, this is a while ago. I think it was the 4. Mm-hmm. And like the whole wearable thing, like you're talking about, like the number of times you move your head. But also like there's no amount of image stabilization that makes wearable during woodworking work.
You'd be surprised now. They got those, the stabilizers, the optical, whatever.
Well, I imagine they've gotten a lot better.
Oh, it's great.
Especially since the 4.
If I wear it when I'm snowmobiling, all the vibration's gone and it just smooths everything out with like my head bouncing around.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like I see a lot of guys wearing them like on the mountain biking channels and things that I watch and it's just beautiful video. I was like, man, things must have changed since I had one.
But it's worlds different now. Which is an interesting side point too. So I have the Pocket 2, which is their gimbal, compact gimbal based camera. So it's like the drone mm-hmm. camera, but on a stick. That one has fantastic image stabilizers for like, it's a mechanical stabilizer. So it does smooth motion mm-hmm. quite a bit. So if you walk around, walk and talk, like any kind of spinning or motion, the gimbal slows down any whipping that you might have. But
for those moments when you just got to dance.
When you got to dance, you're spinning around, talking about something or whatever. The video is incredibly smooth and even. But one thing it can't handle is machine vibration. Like at all. It cannot compensate for that. But the digital stabilizers in the other cameras can handle that machine vibration just fine.
Oh.
But it doesn't smooth the pans.
Interesting. Hey, so not to dig us deeper into this content hole, but I do this. Now I have a question.
Oh, I like this.
Let's do this again. Have you not been tempted to use your phone for some of this?
I do use my phone as well. I use my phone for moments where I don't have another camera on me.
It's the last resort.
It is the last
sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Because I actually did get one of the DJI little handheld gimbal doohickeys. and did some side-by-side comparisons because I kept grabbing my phone, and it's super inconvenient to to capture content with your phone when you're actually still using your phone as a phone. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for another solution, and then I did like a video quality comparison, and I'm like, dang it, like the phone just looks so much better than what I was getting off of those other devices. And so I kind of left it by the wayside and went back to using the phone for those quick pickup shots like that.
Yeah, I mean, it works. That's do what you want.
But I guess you got to do more. You were doing much more long-term stuff. So you got to have a system and memory cards and all that. I think the integration with the phone is probably a different workflow to get the clips off the phone and into the workflow.
For me, it's just like, I don't have a camera. Let me just, and something's happening. Let me just get a fill-in shot real quick. Okay. Because otherwise, nice. Like a lot of the cameras are stationary a lot of the time. So they're just sitting there rolling for 3 hours. And the only reason it's so interesting because I have more than one camera to cut between.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. I can't wait for the uncut director's cut version.
I think I'm good.
Can we get that? All right.
20 something episodes into it already. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right. Well, I feel kind of bad for Jeff who asked this question, because now that you guys have rambled on, we don't have a whole lot of time here. So, and of course, Jeff asks an easy, quick to answer question as to do with sharpening. So Jeff says, I want to ask about sharpening options, using a horse butt strop, interested in getting into water stones, diamond plates, or possibly the Tormek. I just moved again. That's Mark's fault. And have to rebuild the shop. I have cheating turning tools on my lathe. I think he means like easy wood tools. I like that, cheating turning tools. I do have a new regular turning tool. I can't see how to sharpen on a stone or diamond plate. I can see the Tormek as an option, but I really want to sharpen freehand. How do you sharpen a curved tool on a stone or diamond plate? Well, first things first, the reason I have a Tormek is because of turning tools. Tormek is a fantastic machine for all kinds of weird shaped edges. Well, when you're talking like bowl gouges and things like that with complex grinds and eccentric grinds, the Tormek is the only way to do it repeatedly. I don't care how good you are with freehand sharpening. The other thing with turning tools is because they're so long, it's really hard to balance a bevel on a stone when you're dealing with like a, you know, foot long, 2 foot, 3 foot long handle. It's nearly impossible. So if you're doing turning tools, you're probably going to want to have some kind of grinder, whether it's a slow speed, jet, grizzly, Tormek, or, you know, a regular high speed grinder. So once you integrate turning tools, it's kind of a very different answer to this question, because I just don't know of a good way to freehand sharpen a turning tool. It sucks. There's no other way to put it. Mm-hmm. It sucks. But when it comes to like curved edges, like carving gouges or hollow and round plane blades, you know, weirdly shaped spoke shaped blades, things like that. The freehand sharpening thing, if it is a convex shaped edge, you can use a, you know, regular flat stone without a problem. I recommend diamond stones, because the best way to do this freehand is to kind of lock your whole upper body. And I call it the fifth grade dance move, where you just kind of rock side to side from your ankles, really. It's that fifth grade dance move that we all knew so well. That works really well. But the minute you get into a concave shaped edge, you can't use flat stones. So the way I do that is, I have strops, a lot of strops that are set up with specific profiles. But one of the easiest way to do this is to grab a wooden dowel and some sandpaper wrapped around it. So like if you're sharpening, say, you know, a hollow plane blade that is a number six hollow, that number six hollow is going to be a 3/8 inch radius. So if you can get a 3/8 inch dowel, you can wrap sandpaper around it and you can use that freehanded to sharpen that edge. The actual freehand technique on stones is really not dramatically different from straight edges and things like that. If you've got a feel for kind of feeling the bevel and working those freehand, it's not going to vary that much. But I do, as I said, recommend the diamond stone, because it's really easy to wear a hollow into a water stone. And with curved edges, you can't really move back and forth and use the whole stone very easily. That's a real surefire way to kind of change the bevel on you. So you just kind of move in the same track over and over again. But yeah, the reason that I got a Tormek years ago is because I had so many different types of edges from turning tools to carving gouges to molding plane blades to just regular chisels. And the Tormek can kind of handle all of them. So as a long-term solution, yes, it's expensive. Although there's a lot of different options now. When I got it, Tormek was the only game in town. Like Jet didn't even have an offering. Grizzly certainly didn't have an offering. And Tormek didn't have three different price points either. Mm. So there's actually quite a few different options that can help you out to give it a shot. So yeah, that would be my recommendation. If it's turning tools, you know, unless you're buying like some sort of Wolverine jig or something like that for your standard grinding wheel, which is a perfectly valid option. If you're looking at other types of tools, the Tormek really, or a Tormek-ish machine, is really a great option for those weirdly shaped blades.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. Family owned since 1954, Rocklear is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing, supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rocklear has everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit rocklear.com and use the code WOODTALK, that's all one word, to receive free shipping on most orders over $49. And remember to head to rocklear.com/woodtalk to enter for your chance to win a $250 gift card.
Very nice.
Yeah.
If you guys think that you could win a $250 gift card, or that if we really should shed some light on the unknown member of the Spagnuolo team.
Where is she?
Trixie Spagnuolo.
Where's she hiding?
Oh,
I'm just going to go with Trixie.
Trixie Spagnuolo.
I don't know why that sticks in my head.
I should have named my daughter that.
Trixie Spagnuolo.
Sister works
in the business. If you think we should bring Trixie Spagnuolo onto the show, then write in. Send in your questions. Go to woodtalkshow.com and hashtag Trixie Spagnuolo. And sorry, I'm just losing all rational thought at this point. So yeah, just send us an email, folks. woodtalkshow@gmail.com. And any Trixie references you want to throw in.
There you go.
It's all good.
All right then. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.